Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Laughlin, and for the first time in ages...
Hero, I just thought I'm so really bad. Hero.
Oh my God. You alright? What was in that curry you ate? Oh,
fuck. Crack?
Hero. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do you know, during the Rumble match when R-Truth tried to climb the ladder for no reason, I was thinking you were a bit like that on the podcast. You don't really know what's going on.
He doesn't know what's going on. Jesus, right. Stop.
Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and for the first time in ages, we have a full team this week.
Hooray!
Say hello, Nick.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm here with Shane Lees.
Hello!
Anthony Kendrick.
Hello!
And Richard Hale-Hudson.
Good evening.
You're good?
That was a well positive good evening.
I love Heroes good evenings. It really
it was almost sets like,
the tone of the show.
It's like a gay radio presenter.
It's like he's won the lottery.
Positive each week.
My stepmother once did. She got 5 numbers in the bonus.
That's a great story.
What 75 grand she got.
Oh. My friend from Worcester says he had a ticket for the lottery the other day, but can't find it. I wonder if his numbers came up.
Guys, football.
A couple of stories I've noticed this week. Steve Harper signed a short-term deal with Sunderland. He immediately deleted his Twitter account.
He's a Brighton player. We had him on loan from Newcastle, which was a very puzzling move, why he spent so much of his career at Newcastle and Sunderland.
Yeah, and, it's probably because they don't really have internet in Sunderland yet.
Not that he'll get a view from the Jesus.
He was on Twitter via his potato.
I like Steve Harper. He's a nice man.
Yeah, and Jamie Vardy is apparently going to have a Hollywood film about his rise to prominence that's made about him.
Well, yeah, I can imagine that having a really great American audience. The second they hear Vardy's voice, they all just leave the cinema. I know. They can't tolerate the Northern accent. They're not going to tolerate his.
Well, it's not going to be star Jamie Vardy.
It's got to star someone who doesn't sound like Tom Cruise. And from that point
apparently it's going to star One Direction star Louis Tomlinson.
Oh my days.
As Jamie Vardy.
He's quite good at football, to be fair.
This has got to be a troll thing.
Does he play for Doncaster?
Yeah. He played I
love Louis Tomlinson.
He's played in a few charity matches. There's a tackle quite famous.
As I say, the only breaks,
Are they going to mention all the stuff about him, like battering somebody outside a pub and stuff like that?
And racially abusing someone in a casino.
It's going to end with him going off to the Euros and then beating up some Frenchman.
I like Vardy. I hope they've got that video. I hope they show that video of the England players at the Jamie Vardy party. Have you seen it? It's got like a picture of Rooney, Clavin, Kane. All of them. It's so funny. I'm Sterling doing a balloon.
For those wondering, no, Nick is not drunk. He's had a curry. Somehow, this is the reaction.
I need to show you the video.
Later.
It's funny. I've seen it.
All right. So there was a report at the weekend that Louis van Gaal offered to resign immediately after the defeat to Southampton, but it was rejected.
Because they don't have any bottle.
No, I don't believe
he said in his press conference it didn't happen.
It would have been quite spectacular after one bad result. Yes, I know it's gone a little bit bad, but one bad result after beating Liverpool at home. At home at Liverpool. That would have been astonishing if he resigned. Like, I was as gleeful as anyone about Southampton winning that game, and I'll try and quickly get that out of the way. But they would have been very harsh.
Isn't it now, though, 12 games at home in a row that United have not scored in the first half?
Yeah,
I think the last time was Wolfsburg.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it wouldn't be potentially deserved that Louis van Gaal.
I think the Liverpool game is more the anomaly than the Southampton one.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that. I just say, given the narrative how it had gone up to that point, I'd have been surprised if losing to Southampton, who, let's face it, aren't a bad side and were in decent form, even though I was expecting us to get battered, if losing 1-0 at home in a game where there are almost no shots from either side was the, you know, the catalyst for getting him sacked. That would have been very harsh. If, like, that's the way it ends. That's like with a whimper.
Sacking if he resigned.
Well,
I think he should go.
Oh, he should be gone out the door, without doubt. I know Anthony, for some bizarre reason, is still a fan of him. But this is not it's not Man United anymore.
I genuinely can't work out how he's still there.
He's a moron.
If we were to sack Van Gaal, who do we bring in to replace him?
Mourinho.
Give it Giggsy to the end of the season.
Or Giggsy.
No, because people say Mourinho. I don't want Mourinho in.
I don't want Mourinho either, but Ronald Koeman is a better option than what is current there.
Pochettino at the end of the season.
Ronald Koeman, he's quite good. Pochettino wouldn't want to do it. He's on the verge of history at Tottenham. I reckon Ronald Koeman.
Right, but
Pochettino would easily walk to United.
You have to also be realistic. Even at the end of the season, where, let's face it, he's either going to walk or get pushed, it's almost a guarantee at this point. Which manager, realistically, are Man United going to get? You'd go, genuinely, that is just a top drawer appointment. Because I'm sorry, if you guys think you could get Guardiola, you're full of shit. I'm sorry to say, not going to happen.
So getting Guardiola, I would. He's the only manager I can see out there who I would think, yeah, definitely get rid of Van Gaal, bring him in. There's nobody else.
So until then, let's just keep Van Gaal for about 7 years until someone new comes along.
Simeone.
Well, there's no point sacking someone. There's no point changing it. If it's of similar quality, there's no point changing it. It's a waste of.
I think the whole point is that when you hire and fire a manager, you don't really know how it's going to turn out. I'm pretty sure, like, when people are sacking managers and bringing in a new one, they don't go, well, he's probably going to do just as badly as the last one we brought in, so yeah, might as well. They probably have the optimism that this might turn out better. Like, you can't, it's not an exact science. Like, you could say Mourinho and Van Gaal are similar calibre managers, but Mourinho could come in and be amazing. Could also be absolutely devastatingly awful. But that's kind of a gamble that's being taken. You can only guarantee what the results are at the moment and what the situation is at the moment, which is very poor by United standards. Therefore, it's not taking a risk is maybe an option. That's the argument I would put out there as, you know, devil's advocate there.
I don't think it's a gamble worth taking. Unless Guardiola will come in at the end of the season, I would stick with Van Gaal until the end of his contract. And see from there, personally. I think the football is dull. I'm not going to say it's pretty exciting football, but I don't care. I want United to be successful, and if it's playing...
Yeah, but they're doing neither.
...the most boring football, then so be it. I would also argue Guardiola's football is pretty dull at times. He's been criticised at Bayern because the Jupp Heynckes' football was much more exciting than his time at Barcelona. It was that sterile possession, exactly the same thing we saw at United. We see at United now.
I would say Richard has a point. They're not being successful.
The difference between a Guardiola style of football and Van Gaal's, though, is that he had an end result. They'd wear a team down, and often most of the goals would come in the second half. But the goals would come.
Yeah, you're losing to us, and we're rubbish. Moment,
we're getting one shot a game.
Shane Long devastated your defence, and that's saying something. He is pants. I mean, he is awful. And he gave Smalling the runaround.
Liverpool, we won. We only had one shot in that game.
Mm-hmm. No, two. Two.
Oh, two. Wow.
Did he bounce off someone?
Yeah, no, I mean, at the moment, it's deeply questionable. It's deeply questionable whether or not United are going to get top four this season. And would that not be a sackable offence for Man United standards? That's going back.
All United fans thought the Leicester were going to drop off and we'll just somehow just fall into that fourth place. And
I don't think United will now.
Leicester will drop off.
Everyone's been saying Leicester will drop off, just like Chelsea will get better.
Everyone's been saying Leicester will drop off. Leicester aren't. It's way past Christmas. You can't say Leicester will drop off.
I know we're going to talk about
United at the moment.
I know we're going to talk about Leicester later.
And the fact is, like, Leicester might drop off. They might lose a few points, but they've already got enough of a cushion. And can we see actually United gaining that many points?
Yeah, and
not if they have Louis van Gaal. No.
And between now and the end of the season, to get the average amount of points necessary to go and get an average amount of top 4 points, they would only have to go and win about 8 more games. And I think we can all see Leicester going and doing that from the games remaining.
It's
United, you would have to bet on him at this point.
I think
Van Gaal is walking a fine line at the moment, and it wouldn't surprise me if one more bad result was enough to push it over the edge, because the fans can only take so much more. There's very few Anthonys out there at the moment, I'll put it this way.
Van Gaal might walk, but he won't get sacked, I'm convinced of that.
Why, though? This is what I was saying before. I genuinely can't understand why...
They haven't got the bottle.
They've stuck with him so long. So many other managers would have got pushed by now.
Yeah, well, you look 2 seasons ago at David Moyes. He was sacked in a better position than what Van Gaal's in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't understand why he's lasted so long. Is there a reason?
Because they haven't got the balls.
Well, it's reported that Ed Woodward doesn't want to get rid of someone in the middle of the season.
Yeah, he hasn't got the balls.
Well, when else do you get rid of someone? At the end of the season? After it's already gone to shit?
Yeah, as I say, if you had the balls, you'd just sack him for putting Mourinho in.
Do you give it gigs until the end of the season and everything will be alright?
Well, it can't get any worse.
It's going to be alright, but it can't be worse.
Yeah. The worst is they don't get top four, and at the moment, I'd say that's looking like the likely situation anyway.
Alright.
You'll stop the booze as well.
If we don't get top four, then sack him at the end of the season, perhaps. But we would. Alright, let's say Van Gaal gets sacked tomorrow. What do you do then? What do you do for the rest of the season?
Either give it to Giggs because or get in Mourinho.
I would not fancy our chances any more under Giggs than I do
now. The one thing that I don't want Giggs as long-term manager, but putting Giggs in charge until the end of the season, the first thing it'd get the fans happy again for the short term.
Because they might actually see a goal at home. They won't see this stupid
sideways. And they'll want to back him.
The players themselves would want to then have the initial up in the game, as they do for any manager that comes in for any side. And the fact that he's a United legend, the morale of the players would be up.
Just as a United legend. But we don't know what he's like tactically. No one can say for sure, or because we've not seen anything of him. We don't know if he's any good tactically. We don't know if he knows what he's doing. I might be wrong. He might be doing a lot behind the scenes we don't know about. No. It's impossible to know.
That's the point I'm making. That's the point exactly, because you can only know what's going on at the moment with Van Gaal. And it's a bad situation. Any managerial sacking and then a managerial hiring is a risk. But you have to make the gamble. Do the potential benefits outweigh the potential losses? And with Giggs, I just think, can't get any worse than it currently is. And at the very least, as Richard said, you're going to get the fans back on side because they're going to want to support a Giggs Man United team. You're going to get the players a bit more up for it because they're probably going to have a bit more creative freedom. Maybe the results won't be any better, but you'll at least get morale back up until the end of the season when you potentially bring in someone new. You could have a team in a good position from that point in terms of the feeling around the club. So I think the risk would be worth it.
We'll quickly move on from United.
Well, there's no risk at all, though, is there, at the moment?
But yeah, that's the debate. Is it more not profitable in terms of money sense, but in terms of what you're going to gain to sack Van Gaal? And at the moment, I can't really think of too many good reasons other than he might have an expensive contract to get rid of him.
Well, the contract itself, like the money that you would lose for not getting Champions League is surely a lot more than what his contract is for 1 year.
The money's irrelevant. The money's not of relevance. If it came down to it and they wanted to sack him, he'd be gone. The money's irrelevant.
All right, so we move on. It's, Tottenham and Leicester are now single figures odds to win the championship after the Leicester are now 8-1 and Spurs are now 9-1.
Because Tottenham have got King Kane, they've got Dele Alli, two of the English, the saviour of English football.
Mm.
Dele Alli is.
Yeah, Dele Alli's a modern-day Jesus.
I wouldn't bet on who's going to win the title this year.
Oh, God, it's just bloody mad, isn't it?
It just seems that Man City and Arsenal don't want to win the title.
The Premier League gets weirder every week. It's absolute craziness. But the result against Stoke, people are saying, like, oh, that's not such a big result. I'm sorry, you don't win the Premier League playing teams like Man United, Old Trafford and getting a result. You win it beating teams like Stoke. That's how you win the league. You beat the 15 other teams you have to go up against. That's how it's done. And Leicester are the only team consistently... Leicester are the only team consistently beating all the other sides in the Premier League.
That's because they've got players who want to have a party.
There's a lot of reasons behind it. I don't think it's quite so nebulous as people are saying. It's good team spirit. It's good tactical cohesion from the team. It's a lot of teams not being quite so up for a match against Leicester as they are against Arsenal, for instance. You know, Leicester comes to your home ground, you're like, okay, it's Leicester. Arsenal come there, everyone wants to win. Man City come there, everyone wants to win.
Yeah, that's it.
And Leicester, it's suddenly not quite such a big thing. The big teams are still underestimating them a little bit. And like I said, yeah. I think it was the other week about like Costa Rica. When you have a team that maybe doesn't have star individuals but has a lot of tactical cohesion, knows exactly what it's doing, everyone's working for each other, that can be a lot more effective than having a team full of stars that isn't Leicester, communicating.
But Leicester have got like players like Wes Morgan, Danny Drinkwater, Robert Hoof, Art Albright. Who would ever have had them down as players playing it or having the chance to play in the Champions League next season? Well, obviously, Hoof back in his earlier days, but it's madness.
Exactly. It's really good communication.
They've got a player who was playing in the conference not only a few seasons ago for Fleetwood. It's fantastic. It's what an achievement. I think if no matter what, I think Ranieri, in my opinion, is an absolute dead certain for manager of the year. And I think he deserves some sort of a major honour. And I think he deserves maybe even a
Chelsea return.
He deserves an OBE. The thing is,
OBE. He's Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can give it to an Italian.
No.
Commonwealth. You could get like an honorary something.
V2 podcast. This one on me. I'm sorry.
No, in all seriousness, man, I wouldn't bet against Leicester. I think they're almost certain for the top four at this point. I think everyone's saying they're going to drop off. They're not going to lose 10 games between now and the end of the season, and they don't honestly have to do a whole lot more than that. So I think top four, I'd say it's almost a certain at this point. Winning the title, yeah, I'd still say they're definitely not favourites. They're probably third or fourth on that list.
Arsenal.
But you wouldn't bet against them, because they're the only team consistently beating all those other sides. Maybe they don't always do it against the top four sides, but you can afford to lose four or five games in a season and win the title. So, and that can be those games. So I think everyone's got momentum.
Don't forget about Mahrez. Mahrez penalty. Don't forget, had that plonker of scored against Bournemouth and Villa, there would be like something ridiculous. 7 points clear of the title.
Yeah. I would be top of our fancy league.
Aren't dropping any momentum.
It's not upsetting.
Everyone keeps saying they're going to drop off. But to drop off, you need to have at least a clear sign of momentum's going the other way. Tottenham are having it at the moment. Tottenham aren't having it all their own way. They are struggling to get results in. You can see the momentum going with the Tongan's injury. You could say, okay, maybe they don't have enough now. Leicester, they are not dropping off that momentum. You can tell they still have that belief.
If Morris scored those two penalties, they'll win the league. Mm. But I think it's gone now.
Right, so we move on to round one.
Well, you know, so on that point, though, just looking at the league here, had Mahrez scored those two penalties, they'd have been the only team to... They'd won 15 games, only drawn 6, lost 2, and yeah, they'd be 7 points clear of Man City and Arsenal. That's an absolute sensational record. Even at the moment, they're 3 points clear of the title. They're 3 points clear in late January.
Mm.
How many other teams are at that point in that position? Don't get top four.
People say, don't worry, they won't even... There's some more on that. Yeah. They won't even get Europa League football. I think it's an absolute dead certain they're getting Champions League football.
I'd say I would bet on it at that point. I'll put it that way. I would put my money on that. I don't have any to put on
admittedly, this week, if they went and lost like Kante, Vardy and Mahrez to the end of the season, then maybe you would be on, maybe not. But and they've got so many unsung heroes there as well. Like Kante's been awesome.
Yeah, Drinkwater's been very good.
Hoof at the back. Been quality. Joe, when he's played, he's been brilliant. Mm-hmm. Andy King, he's played well when he's played.
Just want to say, over Christmas, I did look at the odds, talking from that point of view. I saw Leicester were 40-1 to win the league over Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how much it's come in.
We're 50p
now. The fuck did I not bet on that?
That's what I'm thinking.
I think after every weekend of football... Going, why didn't I bet on that? See, I could be rich by now. It's because I'm stupid.
I just presume that. I think the Christmas period always dictates where people are going to end up in the season. I think Leicester have got through the Christmas period pretty good. I know they lost Liverpool, but...
Right. Well, we'll move on to room one, just on the pitch. So the top two with the most answers will go through to the final, which we'll play later. So each question has 4 answers.
I hope I don't get con this week.
And you take it in turns to give me an answer. So we'll go in reverse order this week. So Shane, Richard, Nick and Anthony on the first question. And because I'm nice, I'm going to give you a choice of question.
Right.
So you can be quite tactical. So Shane, your options are David Beckham or Wigan Athletic.
Well, I'm going to go with Wigan. Just going to be different.
Right. It's against Shane, Richard, Nick, Anthony. Shane's first. So name Wigan players who've scored 15 or more Premier League goals.
Okay. Who did Shane say?
Because Shane hasn't said anyone yet.
I'm trying to think of like who their good players were.
Yeah, I'm struggling on that.
Oh, that's a shit. I've got loads of options, but I don't have any of them actually.
So it's is it? Goals. Do you say 50 or 15?
15.
15. I can't even think of Wigan players. I've got one name in my head, and I can guarantee it's not it. Like, I'm just going to say this now because, like, this isn't my answer. But I was thinking Emerson Boyce. He used to play for them, didn't he? He's not going to have got any goals. Who was that like Colombian one they had? No, Heskey.
Heskey, yeah.
Yes.
Richard.
The only one I can think of is Charles Ngzogbia.
Yes, yeah. Nick?
I'm torn between Henri Camara and...
Anthony a chance. I'm next. One of yours.
Did he score more than 15? Holy fuck. Yeah, we'll go. Nick, we'll go for Henri Camara.
Yep.
All right.
I think I just realised who it is.
Jason Roberts.
No.
Is it Aruna Kone? Rodallega. That was the guy I was talking about, first of all.
him, yeah, he's the most obvious.
So, Richard, you're going to go first this time, so it's going to be Richard, Nick, Anthony, then Shane. So, do you want Kenny Dalglish or the Ballon d'Or?
You know you want King Kenny.
No, I hate King Kenny.
Okay, do you stay Ballon d'Or?
Actually, no, go King Kenny then. Go on. Okay. I'm older than everybody else.
Okay, so name clubs Kenny Dalglish has managed. Liverpool, yeah.
Blackburn.
Yep. Anthony?
This is awkward. Is that the only two I know?
Yes, same here.
Two more he's managed.
He's managed two of them.
One of them's really obvious, I will say that. I know one of them.
All of them are really obvious.
I didn't know two.
I only know them two.
Hurry up.
Sorry. Ipswich.
No.
Ipswich. What? Celtic. Didn't he play like 200 odd games for them?
You've got to also add Newcastle. He managed Newcastle for a season.
I thought Wimbledon was one.
He's Scottish, Anthony.
I know that. I didn't know he managed in Scotland.
Okay, Nick.
Ipswich.
Straight out of the left field. Imagine if it was right, though. Just a straight up guess of Ipswich.
I wonder what Mick McCarthy would think of that.
No one's ever guessed Ipswich as an answer and got it right.
Nick. You got Chelsea or Premier League winners?
Chelsea or who, mate? Sorry?
Premier League winners.
I'll go for what do you reckon, guys?
I don't know. They asked you. Pick one.
I'll do Chelsea.
Okay. Name Spanish players who play for Chelsea. Current Spanish players at Chelsea.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go for the obvious one, Diego Costa.
Yeah. Anthony.
Although he's
Brazilian. I was going to say I panicked then. I was like, shit.
Abregas, did you say, Anthony?
I did. Yeah.
Shame.
Azpilicueta.
Yeah. Richard.
Pedo.
No, Jimmy Savile does not play for Chelsea. He's actually dead.
It's not Spanish either.
Yeah, it's a really bad answer. No points for Richard.
Yeah, I knew all four of them.
Okay, Anthony, you've got Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink or League One.
I know what I'll do for tactical reasons.
Yeah, I'll go Hasselbaink.
Okay.
Oh, you nut muppet.
I'm sorry.
That's so stupid. If you said League One, you'd have written Hero.
You fool!
But name a team in League One.
Ipswich.
Stupid. If you'd have written Hero, then you'd probably be in the final.
Alright, so name Premier League sides Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has played for.
So, what was that?
Oh.
Name Premier League sides Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has played for.
Oh.
And played for Chelsea, didn't he?
Yep. Shame.
Oh, I can't remember if they were in the Premier League at the time. Oh, I really want to say Leeds, but I'm tempted to say they were down by then. I can't remember. No, they were up by then. This is the 90s. Leeds.
Yep.
Yes.
Richard?
Middlesbrough?
Ah!
So Nick, to get through to the final.
Oh, no. I wonder if he played for QPR.
I know who it is.
I do know who it is. Middlesbrough was the one I was thinking of.
Can I give you a clue? It's not Ipswich.
He was going for that as well.
He went to Cardiff, but they weren't in the Premier League, obviously. No. Who did he play for Cardiff?
That's the point.
Yeah, no, I feel
like...
Oh, fuck it. Well, I'll go for a club that got relegated around that time. There was Charlton that got relegated around then. They won't. It'd be Charlton. West. Oh, West Ham. No, it wouldn't be West Ham. Okay, fuck it. Time's running out. Charlton.
It is like Charlton, that. Yeah.
What? What?
So, Anthony, you're out. So, we'll just carry on. Next round.
Out of nowhere.
Alright, so we'll go.
I knew it was someone around that time that went down, but really?
Yes, you got to go.
Anthony, you can pick the question. You've got. So we'll go with David Beckham or Ballon d'Or?
Ballon d'Or.
Okay, so you're not playing Anthony. So Shane.
Okay.
Shane.
Name the last four Brazilians to win the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, my days. Okay. Did he actually win it, or did he just get runners up? Kaká,
yep.
Okay, good.
Richard?
Ronaldinho.
Yep. Nick? Stay in it.
Fat Ronaldo?
Yes.
Ooh.
I know he had used mustard in 2002 World Cup.
Yeah, I know, that was it, wasn't it?
All right, so, Anthony, on Premier League winners or League One?
I want to know what this League One question was.
Hello!
On
this.
Yes!
Yes!
All right. Name current League One teams that begin with C.
League One teams what?
Begin with C. There's four of them. So we'll go with Richard first.
Oh, thank fuck for that. At least I'm going first. Coventry.
Yeah. Nick?
Colchester.
Colchester, yeah.
Actually, I think I've already mentioned him earlier in the podcast. Crew.
Oh, I should have...
Crew, yeah.
I thought Crew.
Chesterfield. Oh, no, we want that questions. We've got every single one with it right. It was...
We are professionals.
Anthony, we go with... We've either got David Beckham or Premier League winners.
David Beckham.
Name non-English clubs David Beckham has played for. Nick first.
Real Madrid.
Yeah. Shane.
LA Galaxy.
Yeah. Richard.
PSG, AC Milan.
Oh, damn, that's two. You don't get double points, though.
It is.
Last question. So, name Ivorians who have won the Premier League.
What? What's an Ivorian? What?
What's an Ivorian?
Shane.
Didier Drogba.
Yeah.
Yay.
Richard.
Carlo Torre.
Yeah.
Yaya Torre.
Yeah.
A bit of a class clue there, wasn't it?
Right, so I'll let you all three of you qualify for the final.
Yay!
Hooray!
Makes me feel even worse, I'm not qualified.
Tell you what, all those people who listen to this podcast and go, what do these people know? Well, it turns out a damn lot. Apart from some of us think Kenny Dalglish managed Ipswich.
To be fair, admittedly, I don't really deserve it. That Charlton one was literally an absolute... guessing the player.
That was your Ipswich, but it worked.
Well, yeah, exactly. It literally was. Like, I was even going to go for a chat. I was even going to go for Cardiff, who I knew was...
Has Boney won it as well?
No, yeah, well, so the other one was Kalou.
Ah, yeah, Kalou.
Oh, that's quite obscure, isn't it?
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah. I was going to go for Lee Bell.
Four fans is quite... That's why I like that one, because normally the four fans is quite as obscure. So.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
We'll move on to transfers. So, who should we go for? Andros Townsend joins Newcastle for £12 million on a 5-year contract.
Underrated player, great signing. I hope he does really well and even potentially gets an England call, a Euro call up.
I have very mixed feelings about this.
Big time.
I'm surprised he's only had 3 substitute appearances this season. I don't
know. I think it's because he's been a knob in training. Apparently, he's just
then he kicked off on the.
You only get. Have you ever been? Do you guys have a foot manager? You know, when you get those knobs who you put on the. Like you're doing really well, like I did with Woking. You're doing really well, then you get players going, "Why can't you play me?" And I'm saying you have to wait your effing turn because
because you're rubbish, and I've got Ronaldo up front. So I've got
someone banging in 25 goals, and you've got DJ Campbell on the bench getting a game. I think fair enough. You've got a case. So I give him a game, and he's shit. Then in training, he's not turning up.
I bet. Do you play in your suit?
Oh, I did when I got to the playoff final, which I won on penalty. I ran up the corridor and threw my blazer in the F.
Anyway, Andros Townsend. I'm quite torn about this signing because I've professed on this show that I'm a big fan of Townsend, and I think on his day he is absolutely unplayable. But unfortunately, he signed for Newcastle, which is a team I don't think any player in the last sort of 10 years has had a good record and has actually done well out of going to that club. I've also professed that I like, apart from Kabay, who's now at Palace, which at the time was probably a step down. I mean, I like Newcastle, I like Townsend, this should be like chocolate spread and bread. Unfortunately, I just don't think it actually works, neither does chocolate spread and bread. I want him to be able to do, I want him to be able to do well. Because I like him as a player, and I think he really offers England something we don't have otherwise. Yeah. I just can't help but think that it's just not going to work out. That I've got that feeling, I can't shake it.
I'm not
I think they've overpaid on him, to be honest. I think £12 million, I think they've paid English tax. And
they wanted
better.
14, but for him, they rejected 10 and a half.
I'm amazed how Tottenham actually did manage to get 12, to be fair. They've done pretty well there.
Yeah, on Football Manager. On Football Manager, he's always transfer listed within a season for £4.7 million, so that is quite surprising.
Daniel Levy. I bet Levy's going, what's that vine at the moment when whenever Kane scores, Levy, here comes the money. Oh, here we go. Here comes the money.
Then somebody reminds him of what happened to Bale. How was Soldado, Daniel?
Yeah, they managed to give up. They managed to let AVB spunk it on players like Soldado, Paolini. Who's the other Muppet they signed? Kaboo. No, who was that moron they signed for like 15 million and he didn't even get the bench?
Who are you talking about?
I think it was a centre back. He's Romanian.
Kirikes.
Yeah, he was so bad. All he did was like shirt pull people, like an angry Romanian.
Also, Crystal Palace have signed Adebayor on a free transfer.
Oh, I love him because he's already offended their fans by saying he had to Google that Crystal Palace.
It's kind of surprising considering he's played in the same league as him for quite a while now.
Emmanuel,
I think he'll be a good signing.
When he's trying to earn a contract, he plays really well.
Yeah, that's the thing. He is quality when he's trying to earn a contract. And you give him 100k a week, Ken, and he's like, thank you, I'll go and train with the reserves, and you won't see me for it.
And let's face it, free transfer, it's not really any risk other than what you're paying on wages. You know a team like Palace would have been really frugal about that.
And he has to score 2 goals, and he's doing best on the rest of the strikers.
Yeah, Palace are very cautious with their money. They're not going to have thrown 100 grand at him. So
say that, I've heard a lot of things from my mates who support them about how much they're actually really spending a lot on wages. Apparently, Kabay's on fuckloads, apparently.
You can imagine that one, because he came from PSG.
I don't even mean like high for that club. I do mean like something you'd expect Chelsea's and City's to pay for. Mm. That's only what I've heard. It could all be hogwash, but they're adamant that he is on shitloads.
Also, it's a surprise one. Ramirez has joined Chinese side. I don't know how to pronounce it. Junsu.
Qingxi Wang Huang!
Hi to all our Asian listeners.
No, that's what I just said.
Jiangsu Suning, I'm going to go with.
Jiangsu.
For £25 million.
The Chinese clubs are spending a lot of money, though. There's been a few domestic transfers for like 10 million players no one's ever heard of. They're spending a lot of money this transfer window. I don't know how much of a few.
It's the ultimate mercenary move, though, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
I did a little bit of research, and Tim Cahill, Demba Barr, and former Sunderland transfer Gian are reportedly earning £200,000 a week playing in China.
Gervinho
just joined somewhere else.
And they love gloriously a long time. Oh, hell, Xi Jinping.
Gervinho, though, it's a strange one because he moved to Roma and he had a dodgy career at Arsenal, but at Roma he was really good. He was, you know, first team and he was doing really well. And I don't know.
He had that dodgy spot on his hair as well.
I think it's a good move for Ramirez because the Zhang Wang fans will love him long time. So, you know, he's going to be really popular.
And I think also Chelsea don't want to get that much money.
Yeah, they have actually. 25 million. Who would have thought they'd have made a profit on Ramirez? Well done to them.
No, I think Ramirez is quality, though. That goal against Newcastle at the start of the season.
Also, I'm going to apologise for my obscene racism.
The thing I wanted to talk... I just want to say as well with China, though, they have a deal with the Portuguese league where there's so many Chinese players have to play in Portugal.
It is the second Portuguese league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not lying.
The Portuguese unions are fighting it quite heavily and they do have a bit of power over there.
I don't know, you know. I do think football might, you know, we might see a big, I don't know, Shanghai team or something. I think we could see a couple of top Chinese teams.
Yeah, but then what are they going to compete in? They're not going to be in the Champions League. It's the big problem once you're outside of...
The Continental Cup.
Yeah, but
I know the European teams don't take it seriously, but, like, you know, the Brazilian teams and that, they take it really seriously.
Yeah, but at least, like, in South America, they do actually have some good teams out there. They might not have all the strongest leagues, but you've got, you know, you've got at least, like, one good team in Colombia. You've got at least one good team in, what's it called? I think it's Peru. You know, you've got good teams there. So when they do their little competitions, it is actually it's a good event. And it is good competitions, but in Asia,
I'm talking the one which
Club World Cup,
Champions
Club
League World when Cup. It's against the
Club World Cup. But it's
it's
one of those things. It's I have to sort of wonder, kind of what is the point? And I know, and this is when you have to get the really cynical answer: money. It's like the MLS. It's a league designed to make money, not for actual any footballing reasons or fandom or anything like that. It is literally entirely a financial endeavour, which is kind of the exact opposite of what we want from sport. But especially when you're out there, way out in the sticks, it's a limited field. Because these foreign fans are still going to like the Premier League and Real Madrid and all that a lot more than they're ever going to like these Chinese teams.
What the Premier League here, though, are missing out on a trick on doing is buying, like how City have done the New York City franchise over in the States.
Oh, and the Australian players, yeah.
Yeah, if Man United launched a Shanghai Man United, that would just get how many hundreds of thousands watching every game?
Mm. Oh, but it's just so filthy, isn't it? It's like we can talk about it, but like it makes sense. It makes sense for financial reasons, but then I just scream to myself, "Fucking hell, guys! Football, come on! What the hell are we doing? Are you kidding me?" Now, I think when you look at these clubs, they've got very, very wealthy owners, and these owners essentially like football. Realise China is terrible for football. Pour some money into a football team there because shit, it doesn't make a single bit of difference to them. They're rich as hell. And that's all it really is. It's like when people say the Americans will eventually get good at football. No, they won't. They just don't have enough impetus to go and do it. There's not enough desire there. So as much as the Chinese government and these rich Chinese people want to do it, it's never going to take off in that kind of way. If it does, they will be hands down the best team in the world within 50 years, just because they got a billion people to talent pool from. But
imagine it's quite an easy way to money launder as well.
Yeah, probably that too. Like I said, it's all financial what's going on over there. And if they think they're going to spend 25 million on a player and it turned out to be a good investment, that's not what they're trying to do. It's all about making money. It's all about these guys and their egos. And so for me, it's a worthless endeavour for the world of sport. For the world of business, yeah, go for it. Knock yourselves out. But I like good old classic football where it's for football's sakes, not for someone getting richer and richer. That's just me.
Money drives football, though. We're only here because people are putting pound coins into our heads, making us talk football.
I don't know, I've got 5 quid in my bank account. I ain't getting shit for this.
I found some rumours today, some obscene rumours. Do you want to see if any of these will happen? Robin van Persie to Chelsea. Do you reckon it's going to happen?
Could do worse.
Couldn't see it, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah. I could see him doing it just to piss Piers Morgan off more.
About,
it'd be funny watching him up at Old Trafford against, you know, with Van Gaal and United.
How about Pelle to Leicester?
I'm assuming it's not old man Pelle.
Pelle.
It's your Pelle.
Your Pelle.
That's sure, I can't see where the hell he'd get a game, though. Their attacking force is much better than ours, and Pelle isn't even starting for us at the moment.
I'll agree with a Southampton fan.
What about Luis Suarez returning to Liverpool?
Who came out with that one? Was it delusional?
I think it was the Sun.
Luis Suarez wouldn't go back. Luis Suarez wouldn't go back to Liverpool if every single woman in Liverpool offered to give him head. He wouldn't go back even then.
How about Jamie Vardy?
What about if she used her teeth?
What are you reading now? Transfer.
These are just rumours which are in the paper today. Jamie Vardy to Chelsea with Luke Remy going the other way.
No.
Why did Leicester do that? They're top.
I could see Vardy leaving Leicester, to be honest.
I couldn't see it happening in January.
In the next 4 days.
No bloody way. Not
if Ranieri keeps buying pizza.
That sort of thing can happen, actually, though, because you look back over the seasons, you had like the Torres deal on the last day of the January window.
But that's normally a situation where a top club...
Newcastle season, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a situation where a top club is buying from another club in the Premier League, not the club that's fighting relegation against the team that's trying to win it. I know it's odd to think about Leicester and Chelsea in the opposite way on that one.
The difference is, though, that Chelsea can offer Vardy $250,000 a week for Leicester can't.
Oh, the Leicester owners are rich as shit. If they really wanted to keep Vardy, they could give him that money. If it came right down to it.
He could have a good old party with that.
Yeah, he could as well.
It's a lot of Charlie.
Jamie Vardy, hope you're having a party. Good night.
About Gary Cahill to Roma? How he's fallen out with Gus Hiddink.
Sure, it's a guaranteed way that Roy Hodgson forgets he exists altogether.
Who's that to Roma, sorry?
Gary Cahill.
I could see him moving to another English club, but not to Roma.
It's a weird one, because you don't really associate the Italian league as being a retirement league anymore. But yet, Roma keeps seeming to try and buying old players from the Premier League. Have they just looked at the MLS and gone, yeah, that's kind of working.
Maybe we should have a go. He's late 20s, isn't he?
No, I know, but it's just one of those it's one of those weird ones that keeps happening. I could see it happening. It wouldn't be completely ridiculous.
Do you guys have any predictions for the rest of the window?
More or less nothing to happen.
Yeah, United not to buy anyone.
Yeah,
there's one signing which looks interesting. Swansea have been linked with Paloski.
Oh, Chievo.
Sorry?
Is he at Chievo?
It's not been confirmed.
Yeah, they've just signed
him. But it's been strong links, as far as I'm aware.
8 million. And,
he could be a really good player, I reckon. He's a
good goal scorer, yeah.
Yeah, he had something when I remember him at Milan vaguely, and he had something there. And as far as I'm aware, he's done pretty well in Italy the last few years. Mm. So
yeah, that's a good signing. And
they make it.
Brighton have signed the Ginger Iniesta. Steve Sidwell.
To be fair, we laugh. That's a good signing. That's a good signing for any championship club.
I was trying to think who was going to bring out Ginger.
I think he's fantastic. He's a good player. In my opinion, he could walk into any Premier League club, but no, with United, I can't see him starting ahead of.
He was 33. I thought he was a bit younger.
For the benefit of the listeners, I think you should probably say who it is.
Steve Sidwell. I can't see him starting ahead of
Kyle or Dale Stevens, to be fair. But he'll have a good competition along with Crofts.
Yeah, good experience. He's not that old.
Decent legs. Exactly. Yeah, and he's played for us before, so he knows the club well.
Stoke are apparently offering around the 20 million mark for French midfielder Mbula from Porto.
Yeah.
That sort of shows the level that mid-table Premier League sides are at now.
Also, I think it shows the fantastic work Mark Hughes is doing and people want to play under him. I think he's such an underrated manager, Mark Hughes.
I'll agree with that.
Hughes was another one who was linked with the Chelsea job today as well.
I think he'll be class for them.
It would be good to go and see a British manager, even if he is Welsh, to go and get a job of that stature. Even if Chelsea suck right now, at the end of the season, if he came in, I'd say, yeah, good. I'm glad that a manager's finally got it. Personally, I wanted Sam Allardyce to go and get that job, just because it would have been kind of funny. But, yeah.
Do you think the first thing that would happen if he went to Chelsea is like somebody would just have a word with him and say, come on, mate, sort your hair out?
I think he'll be quality for them. There's not really many good British managers out there, admittedly, but Hughes is, whenever he goes to clubs, he does seem to do pretty well. And look at what he's done to Stoke. He's got them from being this rugby team to getting players like Bojan and
English Barcelona.
Oh, no.
I think Hugh's got a hard rap for going to City, but and I think that was probably a step too soon, and it was a club that wasn't good enough at that stage. QPR, yeah. Who the hell was going to do any kind of decent with QPR? You got those players in there, you're never going to do well.
Blackburn and Fulham.
Yeah, he's a good manager. I agree with you. But I think there's a lot of British managers that are very underrated, and it's mainly because they've never been given the opportunity to go and get that big job either here, and they don't look abroad like a lot of the other managers do, which gives them that platform to go and get a job in England. But I think Mark Hughes is a quality manager, and he would do a good job at, I think, most sort of top four
sides.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think that QPR team he had that was going down, even if they got bloody anyone in.
If at the end of the season Man United got Mark Hughes in, I'd say that's a good appointment. If they got rid of Van Gaal and got in Mark Hughes, I'd say that's a good appointment. Same with Chelsea.
And he knows the club.
Yeah.
Right, so time for final. Or some pitch. Some triple threat.
The answer's Ipswich.
I'm the Dean.
So I'm going to go Shane, Nick.
Do I get to pick the questions?
Well, there's any one question. It's classics on the pitch, so you just take in turns to give me an answer.
Alright.
So, name players who have made more than 500 Premier League appearances.
The 500 mile and a
half. There's 12 answers. So. Shane?
Oh, is it me first?
Yep.
Is this of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so not playing at the moment. Ryan Giggs, he's got to be top, hasn't
yep.
he?
Yeah. Richard?
Fat Frank.
Yep.
Lumper Lord.
Nick?
Gary Speed.
Yes.
Oh, IP.
I think I saw a documentary about him the other day. Gareth Barry's got a lot.
Yes, yeah.
He's the best English player, according to Martinez.
Yeah, it really says a lot when he says John Stones going to be at that level one day, and just like, oh, I can't wait till John Stones is as good as Gareth Barry. Can't wait.
Stevie Gerrard.
Yes, 504 just made a. Nick.
Paul Scholes.
No.
What? Oh my.
This is crooked.
Is it me?
Yeah.
David James, he has fucking tons.
Yeah, did you see him on Bake Off?
Oh, he made a shit cake, though.
Did you see, they said cut the vanilla pot in half, and he literally cut it in half rather than slice it down the middle to get the stuff.
I like
how he's got 500 plus appearances, yet he's still bankrupt.
Richard?
Rio must have.
Yeah, he just made it in 504. Nick?
I'm going to go for a very risky one. Brad Friedel?
Ooh. No.
That's a good idea. I was thinking that.
That's a good shout,
actually. Yeah, like how old he is and stuff.
Bollocks. This whole thing's fucked against me. Just never wants me to win.
One more go before it goes to Sunday.
Has anyone said Jamie Carragher?
You have, damn.
Jamie Carragher, then.
Yep. Richard?
Has anyone said Heskey?
No.
Big ML.
Yep.
He had tons as well, didn't he, actually?
Nick, you can't win, so we'll go Sundeath.
Yeah, because I'm not cheating like the other two.
Shane and Richard. So, Sundeath. Shane?
I'm
going to hijack it.
Sol Campbell?
Yeah, 503.
Oh.
Judas Campbell, I thought his name was.
I'm stuck now between the two brothers.
Oh, that means if you get it wrong, I'm straight in there.
If he gets it wrong, you've won.
Get it wrong.
What about what's it as well? The other class of 92, how many did... No, Buck couldn't have had, because he had a fair few injuries. Who had the less injuries between the two brothers?
Hurry up.
I'm going to take a chance on the Everton captain rather than United one, say Phil.
It's got to be him.
Right, so there's one left.
This is awkward.
If I get it wrong, have I lost?
I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Depends if
we'll just say you lost.
Double your money.
Because I think I've got a good idea, even though he hasn't been playing a lot lately.
Hmm.
I might be really fucking off the mark. If Brad Fiedel didn't get it, I might be really off the mark. I'm going to go with Mark Schwarzer.
Yeah. We are not for people.
We are just too knowledgeable.
Hang on, it's all right, I've got one. Came up before in conversation.
You did too well today. I think you got every answer right.
Hang on, it's all right, I've got one.
You just got every single answer right.
We professionals, Richard.
I wouldn't have done if I'd not gone first on the league.
Here we are. There are five.
Right. How many Premier League appearances did David Beckham make for Man United?
You've given him the advantage there.
I'm sorry, but he came up as a round before. And...
yeah, you bastard.
Shane, you can go
nose
first.
Pocket you're in.
Shane, as you've got the disadvantage, would you like to guess first or second?
Sure, I'll guess second.
All right, so Richard. How many appearances did David Beckham make for Man United in the Premier League?
I don't think it was that many. I will go 240.
Interesting. Shane?
Oh, I think it's definitely got to be more than that. But I do think you're right. It's not that many. I'm going to go with... let's make it nice and sort of round. 250.
He's made 265.
Ooh, yay!
Was that in the Premier League or overall?
Yeah, 265 Premier League appearances. He made 394 appearances for United in total.
Oh, well done.
Congratulations, Shane, you're this week's son of a bitch.
100%.
I should have tried to find a nip.
Congrats there.
I wouldn't have got that.
Right, we've run out of time, so we'll quickly go on to just the Liga is becoming more competitive. This year has seen Barcelona, Real Madrid, and surprisingly Villarreal all compete for the title. Do we agree it's becoming more competitive, or do you just think it's a one-off for this season?
Well, Atletico Madrid came into the title race over the last few seasons when it was originally just a two-horse race. I think Simeone, because, well, people say it's good for football, you know, seeing Atletico Madrid up there, but they play the most dull football I've ever seen.
Also, you have to also look at the logistics of it. Barcelona and Real Madrid have been, you know, massively dominant for years. Atletico Madrid have finally pushed themselves into it. Question is, at what cost? Because they are now massively in debt. When Simeone leaves, the bubble's going to burst big time for that club. Because honestly, he has pulled them so far ahead of what they should have been capable of. He has made such good transfers every single time, replacing the good players. I do think it's a bit of a one-off. Because Villarreal, come on, they're not going to be up there at the end of the season. This isn't like saying Leicester, they have enough points. I'm pretty sure Villarreal are about 7 points off. That fourth spot is always relatively open in La Liga, yeah, depending on who did particularly well the year before.
Villarreal have won six of the last eight and drew the other two, so I think that's why they...
Yeah, but you look at like that league, I'm fairly certain Eibar are fairly high up it, and they're rubbish. You look at, I think, Levante, who are the only fan-owned club at that level, or supporter trust-owned club, I think they're bottom. It's just one of those things, it looks like it's doing a little bit better because Atletico Madrid are competing, but if they weren't there... then everyone would be saying it's still the exact same La Liga, and Atletico Madrid have only got in there because they've spent so much money that they've almost bankrupted themselves. When Diego Simeone goes and those results go with it, and they will, because I can't see who they're going to get better than Simeone, and maybe he won't go for a while, but I can't see who they're going to get better, suddenly, but when they can't compete, the penny will drop in a very loud way for Atletico Madrid. No, I don't think it's any more competitive. I'd like it to be, because I love football, wherever it's played, and I want to have lots of different good leagues to watch. But La Liga, it's a good league, it's just not competitive in any way.
I do think La Liga, though, is more interesting now than it used to be. I think with not just the competitiveness of it, but with other things like Zidane taking over at Madrid and the circus that followed Rafael Benitez. Barcelona are a lot better to watch under Enrique. They play a lot more entertaining football. They play faster than they ever did under Guardiola. I do think there's other things. Okay. There's also the British managers. I think there's more for fans to see in La Liga.
I'll agree with that over the last few years, but I thought when you were saying, like, recently, like, because I can remember it wasn't too long ago that Deportivo competed for honours. And I think you're seeing a similar kind of collapse to what Deportivo had.
Say the last two,
Yeah, like Deportivo had a big collapse. I think they've only fairly recently got back into La Liga. I think they're in a similar, Atletico Madrid are in a similar situation. When they lose those one or two really good players they had, or when they lose that manager, they put themselves into such a bad financial situation just to compete. It could all go very badly, very, very quickly. And I think it's been a good league for a long time. I'm not saying it's not a good league. As far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, at least joint second. But it's just not competitive. And whilst it is interesting, and it's been more interesting in the last few years than it has been in the few years before it, I wouldn't say over like the lifespan of the league, it's having a particular like golden era, for instance.
Mm. But compare it to other European leagues. You've got, you know, you've got Juventus who have dominated the Italian league until this season's different. So that's probably a bad example.
Yeah, you've got Bayern Munich, 20 odd points ahead of second place in France as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say PSG, Bayern Munich dominate the German league. I think the Spanish league is more interesting than other European leagues, so I think it does deserve some credit. But I think the other factor is that Sky Sports have lost a lot of football coverage, so they're hyping up La Liga a lot as well, and they've got Ballard guy who they absolutely love. So I do think from that point of view, it is getting hyped up a lot, and I read a lot of Sky Sports news. So
for me, I'd say it all depends on sort of how you're saying interesting, because the Italian league is good because it reinvents itself every 10 years. Like, Juventus has been on top for a while now, but it wasn't that long ago. They got relegated for corruption. And you had Inter Milan, who had those dominant years under Mourinho. AC Milan had their dominant years. It's constant rotation. One team takes the top spot for a while, but then it loses it in a big fashion and finishes seventh for 10 years. So that league always reinvents itself. The German league is unquestionably the fans' league in Europe. It's the league where the fans have it better than probably anywhere else.
Mm.
So, you know, they've got that interesting element. They've got, you know, good attacking football. It's a more consistently good league than I'd say La Liga is, apart from the fact that it has got just one power team in it. So I think it depends on what you're saying. It's interesting. Yes, it's probably better than it was maybe a few years under Guardiola, where it was just a bit boring, I would have said, and a bit too predictable. But it's only progressed so much, and I do definitely agree with what Anthony says in the sense that a lot of it has been media hype because Sky have really lost a lot of the television contracts, and so now they've got to sort of push what they've got because it's all they've got left.
Well, probably another reason British eyes are on is because Gary Neville is over there and he's still looking for his first La Liga win.
He's been rubbish. If he was not friends with the chairman, he probably wouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah, have you seen any meaningful improvements for Valencia under Neville?
Well, he looks like he's got the team motivated better. But it just doesn't pan out on the pitch. Like, you can see him when they're, you know, going through the tunnel, when they're finishing the game up, you know, he's hugging the players. He's got that sort of atmosphere where he's like really getting behind them, as well as getting on their backs a bit. But when it's on the pitch, these Valencia players, they're just lazy. There's no two ways about it. They are not trying hard enough. And if you can get it, you know, all doing kind of well off the pitch, but it doesn't pan out on it, it's only a matter of time until you're sort of walking the tightrope. And right now, if he wasn't mates with the chairman, the fact that he's English and the Spanish do not like the English... Let's just put no, you know, things about it. The Spanish don't like us. They never have. It's a long history of the Spanish not liking the English and us hating them because of that. So there's always been the media and the fans have kind of... They've kind of wanted to see it end in failure. So they're kind of quite excited that it looks like it's going that way. I think it was a big job to start off with. A lot of people said it was a good move because it was foreign. For me, a good move would have been going to a team like Levante or Granada or something like that, where you've got time to sort of build a team and you haven't got instant pressure. Valencia's a big club. They're a bit like Liverpool or Everton. They're a club that think they're a lot bigger than they actually are, and you're under the cosh straight away.
I do disagree with you to call it easy, though, sorry. I think it's... are you comparing it to the English league? Compared to English players, they maybe are, because in England, you know, the players are expected to fight for every ball and all that. But in Spain, it's different. It's not...
They're lazy by Spanish standards, and that's saying something.
I don't think they're any worse than, you know, your average Spanish team. I won't call them, you know, lazy players, really. I just think they're a typical Spanish side. I won't call them lazy. I don't think it's fair to say that.
I would say it's fair, because you look at the results, the way they're going. It's not like they're going 1-0 up and then, oh, it's a last minute. Oh, we let in a last minute goal. Oh, damn it. They're playing like shit for 40 minutes, conceding a goal. Neville kicks into them at half-time in his Mancunian Spanish. And they finally go, well, we might have to try and score a goal here. And they finally kick into gear in the second half. It's been the pattern they've been going under. And it's laziness. That's all it is. It's the polar opposite of what Leicester have, where they start every game trying to go at it from the first whistle. It's laziness when you can't motivate yourself from the first whistle. That's all it can be. Because they're good players.
Past the end of the season.
I think that would be a very generous appointment if he lasted there longer than a season. At current standards, obviously.
I don't know. I think it would be fair to, you know, allow him to build his own side properly and all that. So
it would be fair, but that's just not how football works.
Yeah. But if we had a Spanish guy coaching in the English league, you know, who sort of does all right, doesn't do a lot, we'd say maybe he should get a proper chance, you know.
Sort of like Roberto Martinez at Everton. Has a pretty good side.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's quite a lot of people saying you should be getting sacked sometimes.
No, that's different because Martinez has been there several years. I'm talking about, you know, someone like, I'm not saying he's as good a manager, but say Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. He's not had a chance to build his own team yet. And even if Liverpool have a really bad end to the season, finish bottom half, he's still not going to say he should be sacked. He should have more of a chance. So I know. Klopp's
I think
got
there
his
would be plenty of people. I would agree with you. I do think Neville should get more time. I'm saying it would be very understandable if he didn't get, you know, kept on at the end of the season. This is Valencia. That's one of the big Spanish clubs. It's behind teams like Getafe and Eibar and Celta Vigo. These aren't good.
You look
clubs.
At the Valencia side as well.
It's a good team.
It is.
Yeah. That's the thing. And if you can't motivate that team, it's the Man United problem all over again. If you actually have, technically speaking, a good set of players on paper, but they just aren't doing it on the pitch, you've got to either wonder, do the players have a bad mentality, or is it the manager who can't motivate them? I think it's a bit of both in Valencia.
It's the team he's inherited.
It's a good team. It's a team that's better than 11th place.
It might be, but if it's not his team, it's not a team he's built to his liking. It's irrelevant. Well, not irrelevant, but it's a small factor how good the team is. It's wanting to play
the manager
being brought together with the chemistry by the manager, that's what.
Yeah, but he knew the deal he was getting into. Valencia aren't a club that have big money. They can't go and spend big money. When he signed up for them, he knew he probably was never going to get the opportunity to fully build his own team. It would be inherit a squad, try and bring through the better young players, sell off a few, bring in a few, that kind of sort of thing. But if you get more or less an entire season and you take a club like Valencia with that team and you sing them to the bottom half of the table, the Valencia fans, considering he's also an Englishman, considering he's buddies with the chairman, they will be baying for his blood.
They are currently winning at the moment, though, in the game.
Yay, well done to him.
I'm just staying on the topic. It's Atletico Madrid Barcelona this weekend, isn't it?
Hey.
Yeah, top two. Nice. Okay. Right. To the hour.
Who would have thought we'd have ever had such an enthusiastic La Liga debate?
We'll do a La Liga podcast one day.
Alright, so on Monday evening, I'm interviewing international football freestyler Mike Delaney, so send any questions you want to ask him. Follow us on Twitter at V2Football, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's nothing else?
Also, I think we're going to set up our... we should set up a Instagram.
Do you want to run the Instagram?
Oh, what do you want to put photos of?
Nick's face. Nothing but Nick's face.
Or Snapchat.
If you want to run a Snapchat or Instagram, it's up to you. If you can set it up on it.
We're going to have a V2 chat roulette.
does that still exist?
Yeah, I was on it the other day.
Oh, jeez,
what were you doing?
Good night.
Can you get on? Right, can we
V2 Tinder profile.
I'll talk to you more after the show when we're not